seniors that life's going to slow down, but next week you're going to be 25, so just be ready. Let's stand together.
And so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing. Amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you lay down your life, that I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules in nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, 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 oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Thank you. every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow.
Didn't want heaven without
Father, we thank you for being such a loving God and such a forgiving God. Lord, we just pray for our pastor this morning as he comes. Lord, we just pray you'd pour your spirit out on him, Father, that we might learn to be salty Christians through the words that he's got for us this morning. Lord, we just pray you forgive us if we failed you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we love you, and we adore you. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven. And please help us to give a portion of back what you gave for us. And please help everyone to have a safe drive back home. In your name we pray. Amen.
Only one was raised to life again. Only one is King of every king. Only one is coming back for me. All the praise goes to Jesus. All the praise to Him alone.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Cheryl, for singing that. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church, and let's take our Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 9 and 10 this morning. Titus 2. A young accountant straight out of university applied for a job advertised in the Kalamazoo Gazette. He was interviewed by the small owner of a business who had built it up from scratch. "I need someone with an accounting degree," said the man, "but mainly I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me." "How do you mean?" said the accountant. "I have lots of things to worry about, but I want someone else to worry about money matters." "Okay," said the accountant. "How much are you offering?" "You can start at $75,000 a year," the owner said.
$75,000? How can a business like this afford to pay so much?"
"That's your worry," said the owner. Okay, it wasn't that good. I'm sorry. This morning, we are going to look at Titus chapter 2, continuing our series in the book of Titus on our mentor-making church. And as we do, the thought this morning is discipling for the long haul. And as we saw these graduates up here, It's pretty neat to have six graduated from our church, isn't it? Not graduating from our church, from school that are in our church. Do not graduate from church. All right. Watching you, Eli. So, as we think about them as they take their next steps, I think there's some really great sound advice for all of us here in this passage. And as we read through these verses, just two verses this morning, the goal is to understand that we are not discipling for the here and now, although the here and now will be covered. We are discipling for the long haul. So if you'll stand with me as I read Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Let's pray. Lord God, bless your word in our hearts and minds. Help us to be attentive to what you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It says here, exhort the servant. So anytime there's exhorting or exhortation that takes place, there's someone who has to be giving the exhortation. All right? And as we look earlier in the passage, we see that the old men and aged women were to instruct the younger men and the younger women. And as they give these instructions, part of it was in how to be a worker, how to be an employee. Now, the word servant here is most probably someone who has bonded themselves to the servanthood, okay, which means they took a job, okay? That's all it means. They took a job. So, if anybody here, if you have a job where you work for somebody else, then it applies to you. And even if you're retired or you're a boss, there is something here that applies to you because there's an exhortation here that we are to tell those who have taken on a job that there is a way to work and an attitude to have in the work. And in verse 10, it uses a couple words here. Not purloining, it says in the King James. That word that says, don't take from them what is theirs. That's what it means. Don't take from them. Don't take from your owner, your boss, what is theirs. Don't embezzle, okay, is another word that you could use here. Don't take what is not yours, but showing all good fidelity. Okay, now that word fidelity means honesty and sincerity. It's concerning your faith. But that word fidelity in this context is used towards money. And so you are to be good with your bosses, the companies, the owners' money. And your faith will be what guides you to be good with it. So in your bulletin, I don't have a PowerPoint this week. I had too much fun with the seniors at VBS this week to make a PowerPoint. So I was playing all week long. All right. Can I just brag on our senior saints for a minute? All right. This is like totally, I'll make it work with the message, right? But I tell you, all week we had a great time. All right. I did the most frustrating thing in the world. I made an escape room for them. And then I messed up one of the clues. They were so frustrated, but you know what? They were so gracious. They forgave me. See, the whole goal was I was trying to teach them how to be forgiving people. Paul is still bitter at me. I don't know if Dewey will ever be my friend again. But we had such a great time. We played some games. I learned. Where is she? Carolyn Fagley. Yeah, she's the best dancer in the church, all right? You're like, what? I'm telling you, we had fun this week, okay? We had a blast. And you know, while we were doing all these things, it was really great. Carl spoke on Wednesday, did a fantastic job. On Thursday, we had Bob Tissett. He was a former executive at Bear Lake Bible Camp. He just retired. He came out and spoke. And then my dad spoke on Friday. And we had a great time. The messages, they were to motivate, but they were also to instruct our seniors, every single one of them. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. In fact, the younger generation needs to learn from you. And they talked about it, you are not handing the baton off. You're still running. You're just asking them to join you. And we spend too much time thinking we got to hand it off to... You know what? Our high school graduates, our new adults, have to start adulting. I like that word. As they begin their adulting process, we're not handing a baton off to them. So, now we don't have to do anything. No. Now we have more people that are in the race with us. We used to have to do this drill when I was in high school. It was called the Indian Run, okay? Every time the coach blew the whistle, the person in the back of the line had to run to the front of the line while we were running circles around the football field. And every time they blew the whistle, the person in the back had to run to the front. What happens when you're running from the back to the front? You're running faster, right? And when you get to the front, you're supposed to slow down. Some of those jokers didn't understand that. And it was always the real thin guy that has no trouble running. And then, some of us guys that didn't like, we'd sprint, but we didn't like running distance. We'd be like, slow down. But you know what? It was easier when we were all running together. In fact, our times running around the football field were a lot faster when we did that drill than when he just said, take 3 laps. Might be 30 minutes before we got done. And that drill, it was a lot quicker. Well, you know what? When we run together. So here's all we're doing with our graduates. We're blowing the whistle saying, all right, come on out and join us. And so as we teach, as we exhort, there are some things that this passage says that are essential. So this works for all of us. Number one, obedience to your boss. And I want to throw out something here. In this passage, in verse 9, it says, servants, be obedient unto their own masters. Okay? So this is not all the imaginary bosses out there. Anybody work with imaginary bosses? They're not your boss. Oh, Lynn, you have a boss. Quiet. You have these imaginary bosses, right? Who are... or this is not speaking of all the co-workers who are just bossy, right? Now, we work with a lot of people like that. I've worked with people like that, okay? So here's what it says. Obedience to your own boss. Isn't that cool? Isn't that great? You're not being called to, like, be everybody's errand person. You have a job, work your job. And do it well. Well, first of all, letter A in your bulletin, try to make them happy with your work. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to make my boss happy? Okay, if you're not trying to make your boss happy, then you are a lost worker. If you're not trying to make your boss happy, you are missing out on the joy of work. You see, when you work hard and it makes your boss look good, then you have done your job and you should want your boss to be happy and look good. If you're the type of person that's always, maybe you're hoping to get their job and make them look really bad. Okay, let me just tell you something. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You try to make them look bad, you know what? You're going to always look bad.
the more success that your boss has because of your work, the better off you are. And who cares if it works that way in your company? That's how it is with God. And so, first of all, you need to try to make your masters happy. Please them well in all things. So make them happy. Letter B, don't talk back. Not answering again. Don't talk back. Somebody's back there laughing. Oh, Lynn. If you ever come to my office and say, why does he always wear earbuds? I work with Lynn. So, see, when we talk back, we do two things to our own credibility. Think about this. When you talk back, you do two things to your own credibility. Number one, you make it sound like you don't understand. If you don't understand, yes, you question and you ask for help, but you don't talk back. All right? So you put your own integrity on the line when you talk back because you make it sound like you're an inept worker. Number two, when you talk back, you're communicating that you deserve their job. No matter what you believe, the fact is you don't have their job. You have your job. And to talk back, it says here, to exhort the servants, not answering again. Don't talk back. Number two, obedience to the organization. See, sometimes when you have an employer-employee relationship, you may not have a specific boss, but you have an organization that you are accountable to, right? And so when you're accountable to this organization, so maybe you're not specifically reporting to a boss, or maybe you kind of are a boss, but you still have an organization that is above you. Here's what you need to have: obedience to the organization. So letter A, don't take time or money that isn't yours. Don't take time or money that isn't yours. Okay, I don't have to punch a clock every day, all right? But when I worked jobs where I did, one time I had a boss come up to me and he goes, all right, Thad, he goes, you don't have to stand and wait at the thing until 8 o'clock to punch in. Just punch in when you get here. I'm like, well, I'm not going to steal those minutes because I always would get to work 5-10 minutes early just so I was ready. And then I would clock out when I was done with my work. And my boss is like, you can take a few extra minutes. I'm like, no. Because you know what my dad taught me? That's stealing. It's stealing. Don't take time and don't take money that aren't yours. In verse 10, not purloining. That's exactly what that thought is all about. It's about taking what does not belong to you. So with obedience to the organization, don't take minor time or money that isn't yours. And secondly, be a great manager of your tasks. Verse 10, showing all good fidelity. All right, the first part of that is be a great manager of your tasks. And it doesn't matter. If you're stocking shelves, then be the best shelf stocker in the entire place. If you're cleaning floors, make sure your floors are the best. If you're doing any kind of manual labor, make sure your manual labor is done at the highest quality. If you're dealing with people, make sure every person you deal with understands that they are important and that they were heard. And you make sure that every task you have, you do it to the excellence. Number three in your bulletin. Even as you wear the uniform, the badge, carry the name of the business you work for, you truly should be clothed in the uniform of the doctrine of Christ. Look at verse 10 with me. Not purloining, not taking time or money that isn't yours, but showing all good fidelity, be a great manager, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Here's what it means to adorn. It means to decorate. So, if Rachel said, hey, let's redecorate, okay, I would not get excited at all. I'd be like, oh, again, really? We don't really decorate that much, but. Some people, though, get really excited about decorating, right? Woo, we get to decorate. Oh, let's get samples. Oh, samples. Let's look at all this stuff. And okay, because when we adorn, when we decorate, whether it's a wardrobe, I mean, for me, Rachel just buys it and says, hey, I bought you this. Oh, cool. I throw it on. She'll be like, you're not supposed to wear that with that. Oh, okay, what should I wear it with? Then she'll tell me, and then I'll wear it. All right. Me adorning, decorating, yeah. But you know what? We all decorate our lives and decorate our uniform of Christianity with something. I remember there are some restaurants where they get like their happy pins, you know. I don't know if they remember TGI Fridays, right? They'd walk in, you know, oh, they got a smiley pin, a happy pin. Somebody said a good word about them, and they'd have all this decoration on their uniform. In the military, they get decorations on their uniform for accomplishments for years of service and all these different things. We are decorating our uniform, not of the business that we work in, but of our doctrine of Jesus Christ. In Titus, this is the fifth time that we have been admonished to consider doctrine in the way that we live. And you go, wait a minute, my doctrine and my work have nothing to do with each other. Okay? You know, I make sales all day. I build stuff. I paint stuff. I make parts. I make tools. Your doctrine is very important at your work. Because we should be decorating our life with our doctrine. If you have good, sound doctrine, you know what's happening? You're living the right way. We could go back and look in Titus chapter 2, in verses 1 through 7, all the things that are said there to the aged men and women and the younger men and women. And that's all part of our sound doctrine. That's how we clothe ourselves. But specifically in our workplace, even as you wear the uniform or a name badge or you carry the name of the business that you work for, you truly should be clothed in the uniform of the doctrine of Christ. The way you work is a reflection of the God you serve. Let me say that again. The way you work is a reflection of the God you serve. When I used to work in a shop, when it came Christmas time, the boss came to me and he said, hey, everybody knows that you're a Christian, and you're the only one. We would like for you to pray for the meal at the company Christmas party. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to do that. Now, if I would have lived like the rest of the guys that were around me, they would have never asked me to do that. If I didn't adorn myself with the doctrine of Jesus Christ, they wouldn't have wanted to hear my prayer. So you know what I had the opportunity to do? I had to, got to pray. They handed me the microphone. And I thanked the Lord for Grinwald Ford and for all that work at Grinwald Ford. And I went and I named my managers that I worked for, and the owners. And then I just prayed the gospel. I just preached to them. It's probably like, Rachel, like a five-minute prayer. I let them have it, you know. It was the only chance I'm going to get to talk to everybody in the company, and it was actually two dealerships combined for the, it was awesome. It was great. You know, when we adorn ourselves in the doctrine of Christ, the way we work is a reflection of the God we serve. The way you treat and respond to your boss is a reflection of how others will see your relationship with your God. The way you treat your boss and the way you talk to your boss is a reflection of how other people will see your relationship with your God. You go, well, I'd never talk to my God the way I talk to my boss. Maybe we need to do a better job with our bosses. If you're not familiar with this man, his name was Joseph in the Bible. He was a fantastic worker. At 17, his brothers sold him as a slave. And so at 17 years old, he's out of the house. He's now a slave. And the family he gets sold into in slavery, he works so hard and so well that before long, he's running the entire house. The master doesn't even know how much he owns. Only Joseph knows. Tell you what, talk about good fidelity. Talk about not taking what doesn't belong to you. And then he was offered something that didn't belong to him. It was his boss's wife. And he said, no way, and he ran. And she falsely accused him of trying to force himself on her. And so then he was thrown into prison. It's bad enough to be sold by your family, right? Most of us, we quit at that point, right? But now he gets thrown into prison for something he didn't even do. And how does he respond to that? He works hard in the prison. He works so hard in the prison. He's got such high character that the warden doesn't even know who's in his prison, doesn't even know the daily operations, because Joseph is running the prison. When I look at Joseph, I think of he is the model worker. Because you know what it said in Potiphar, his first boss's house? When he saw him work, he saw that the hand of the Lord his God was with him. The warden in the prison, when he saw Joseph work, he saw that the hand of the Lord his God was with him and prospering him. Potiphar's house grew. His business grew when Joseph was there. The jail became the most orderly, wonderful place below ground you could ever find. Because Joseph was there working. And then you know what happened? God exalted Joseph. Joseph never exalted himself. He worked hard. He was the model worker. And eventually God brought Joseph, and Joseph ran the country. From prison to running the country. Some of you are like, I never want to run the country. Some of you are like, I don't even want to be a manager. Here's the thing. We all need to be faithful to the task that God has called us to. And as we have some graduates that are heading off into adulting, you're going to have to start to work to eat. It's a whole different kind of work when you work to eat. You're going to have to work to live. Whole different kind. But it's pretty awesome when you work the way God wants you to work. And the ways that you get elevated in life are so much better when God takes care of that for you. So I want to encourage our graduates, I want to exhort you that as you work, be obedient to your masters, be obedient to your organization. Make them happy. Don't talk back. Don't take time or money. But be the best worker that wherever you're at. And I guarantee you this. Your doctrine will be decorated so well that others will look to you and say, man, I want that God. Whatever your motivation is, I want that. And then when you tell them about Christ, it will really mean something because you've lived him. Let's pray.
Lord, I thank you so much that your word deals with everything in our lives. God, help us as a church, as a body of believers, to be diligent in teaching these truths. And Lord, I know the parents are passing these on to their children, but I pray that all those who interact with our young people, that they would be very active in teaching our young people how to be workers, how to have the right attitudes. And Lord, if we ask that of our young people, I pray that all those who are here, that we would all take this to heart. Help us to be the best workers in Kalamazoo, Portage, Plainwell, Otsego, Vicksburg, Schoolcraft, Pawpaw, the surrounding areas, that, Lord, we would be the best workers that are around because we have Christ in us. And I pray that others would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So, Lord, as we've looked at these things this morning, we can't really promote the name of Jesus if we've never trusted the name of Jesus. So if there's anybody here who has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we sang some great songs, Your Amazing Grace, You Died for Us So That We Could Have Eternal Life. And so, Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that right now they would call out to you and ask you to save them. Lord, you will change them, and this whole idea of being a great worker who's clothed in the right kind of doctrine, it will be possible for them because, Jesus, you will make that possible. So bless us as we close out the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together as we sing this closing song. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'd like to talk to me about it, I'll be standing up here at front. I'd love to talk to you about that. And for the rest of us, let's sing about the King of our heart, the reason we work the way we do, the reason we live the way we do, is because we have a King who is good to us.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the mountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, here's my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good.
Gonna let me down. You're never
light is holding on to me. God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me,
my
God is holding on.
This morning, the Cortez family, the little one's got to wait till he's older and gets baptized, but Jorge and Jackie Cortez have come for church membership, and they both trusted Christ as their Savior. They've both been baptized by believer's baptism. And so I'd like to make the, like to have a motion to accept them into membership. I have a first and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Jorge and Jackie, welcome to 12th Street Baptist Church, officially to the family. So I'm going to ask you if you could go to the back, and we'd like to extend the right hand of fellowship to you as we leave. Then also, I'm going to ask our graduates out in the lobby to the left as you walk out the doors. There are some cupcakes there, 300 beautifully decorated, very tasty cupcakes. We're going to have the graduates go stand by the cupcakes, and you can eat one before anybody else gets out there and get your own pick, all right? And then if you can go and just greet the graduates as you get a cupcake, all right? That way you can say congratulations to them. So don't forget to extend the right hand of fellowship to Jorge and Jackie. And graduates, go ahead and go back there. We'll give you a head start. And Jorge and Jackie, guys, you guys can go ahead and go to the back of the auditorium. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for Jorge and Jackie and their heart for you. And I look forward to seeing, Lord, what you will do with them here at 12th Street. I pray for our graduates again. Lord, I thank you for the families that they come from that are teaching them the ways of the Lord, and that they are, every single one of them, they want to make good decisions and do right and handle situations correctly. And Lord, I just thank you that that's their heart. I know that you will allow that to happen as long as they follow you. So now unto the great God, the one who has helped us to pass from death to life, to bring us from selfishness and from pain and sorrow of living for self to selflessness and knowing that there is better things to live for, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. To you be glory and honor and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him.